And, you know, that can definitely lay on our hearts and lay on our minds. And I realize that. And somebody's trying to call me. I'm going to go ahead and cancel that. So there's a lot can be on our minds and everything. But I know this week, too, and what it represents, and I've been looking at some interesting stuff. I guess when you look at this week, the events, as things happen, when you look up, look leading into the crucifixion, there's a lot of things that you can study if you slow down and look at it. And I know a lot of things can be much debated and things like that, so I'm not trying to get into all that kind of stuff. Was it Thursday? Was it Friday? Was it Saturday? What about Wednesday? All that, you know, and I know different people have different thoughts and what have you, but I found an interesting study on what you might even refer to as Wednesday of that week when it took place. But if you will, let's be turning to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26, just want to look at verses 1 through 5. And I've been praying that the Lord would bring it out the right way. While you're turning there, Matthew chapter number 5, I wanted to read a verse to you over in John chapter number 19. I want to read a couple of verses to you that kind of sets maybe the stage for this also. And this is when Jesus was on the cross right at his death. It said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And in verse 31, it says this here. It said, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. And now that gives way to what day that it was. And I want to, Lord willing, explain that just a little bit. But it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that the Sabbath day was an high day. Besought Pilate, and their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. And so when you see John there and what he is discussing, and I'm praying that I don't get this confusing and get it all messed up, but it's talking about the preparation day. How many of you have heard of the preparation day? You heard about that, a few people? That's something that I hadn't studied it out before to know exactly what it was, but I find that it's interesting and what that it's talking about here, because when you look at this week, it's a little bit different than what you'd say a normal week in history, especially Jewish history. So I want us, our minds, to kind of think along those lines this morning, or this evening. Think about that. Think about this is the Jewish calendar, Jewish tradition that we're talking about versus what we'd have on the American calendar, what we would have the way we have it. And so, but if you go back to Matthew and what it's reading here, Matthew chapter 26. And it says, and it came to pass, when Jesus finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples. And so if you look back and you read back before, there's a lot of teaching that he gave. He gave the teaching about the 10 virgins, the talents, and the judgment that was to come, the separation of the goats, the sheep, and how everything is going to be divided out, separated out. So there's a lot of doctrine and teaching that was given just prior to this. So I know when you think about our disciples, his disciples at that time, and you know, I'd say their minds was all over the place. They've heard things several times. I don't know exactly how many times, maybe 6+ times by this time, that they heard the Lord say that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be killed. Verse number 2, and it says, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So after 2 days, if you look kind of on this scale here, let's say this is Wednesday. This would be the Wednesday. What you have before the feast of the Passover, what you have is you have a secondary, what's called the high, that's called the high Sabbath. You know, in my mind, the way my mind works, I think a Sabbath is a Saturday. And so my mind kind of goes along that line. But during this time, the way that it's set up in Jewish tradition, before they have their feast, there is what is called a high Sabbath. That means a special Sabbath. That's something that happens just prior to the feast of unleavened bread taking place. And then it also ends it. So you'll have it at the first of the week and at the end of the week. So when you see the Sabbath, you know, my mind goes to Saturday, and then you start trying to think, well, if that happened on a Saturday, how in the world are you going to time this out that he arose on the first day of the week, which we would say is Sunday? How did that take place? So a lot of this comes in together. So when you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that would start after the Passover. What you have is the preparation day. And then what you have after the preparation day is then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread that starts 7 days after that. So I hope that makes sense. I'm trying to not confuse myself or you in the process of this. But that is when you start seeing the time that is given here, it all does mean something. It means something quite a bit. And it says, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. So after you see Jesus talking with and teaching his disciples, he explains to them that he is going to be betrayed, and that he is going to, after 2 days, the Feast of the Passover, he is going to be betrayed and crucified at that time. So what you have, aside from that, separately, you have a meeting that is going on and taking place. Now, what I find interesting about this is who is attending this meeting, who is all together here. It says, then assembled together are the chief priests. That would be what I would see as your religious people. It also has the scribes. It's mentioned here, your educational system, or the scribes of the Jewish traditions or laws and what have you, and the elders. I see political people that's also listed here and mentioned here, because they all met together at the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. And so as they meet and do these things here, you can kind of see exactly how they do this. They're together, they've got a plan, and they want this to take place, and they want to take place at a certain time. When you look at the law and how serious it is, it's like, hey, the high Sabbath is coming, and this is coming where no man can work, and this is a special one, this is a special week, and we can't have the people in an uproar. That's what they're looking at here in verse number 4, and it says, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety, subtly, and kill him. So you see what they're wanting to do here. You say, why would they want to do this? If you look back at the Jewish law and the way things were set up, they wanted to put Jesus on trial secretly, quietly, quickly, for proclaiming that he is the Son of God. And that is what takes place. You see, this takes place at night. They're trying to rush this thing along and do it even against the law to fulfill their law. You see, I think their desire was more important than fulfilling the law at that time, that part of it anyway. But you look at that word subtly and what that means with fineness. And I thought about that word as I read it, and I'm like, I've seen that somewhere else. In the Word of God, in Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And you look at that word subtle, you think, well, that just means to handle something delicately. Handle something very softly and very carefully. Just handle it carefully, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it also means deceitful and treacherous. And I think you can see that's exactly what they were trying to do. You see, all by trying to get this done for their for what they thought was the best thing for them, and not get the people in an uproar and all this kind of stuff. And so they wanted to do this. They wanted to do this before the actual high Sabbath took place. Verse number 5, it says, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So you look at the feast day. When would the feast day be? That would be that the feast would actually start if this is the 14th of Nisan. Now the preparation days, the 14th day, the Nisan, which would be in their calendar. So it's the 14th day. The actual Feast of Unleavened Bread didn't take place until the 15th, the next day. So what they were going to do, they had to have done on the preparation day. They had to have it done before that high Sabbath took place. And see, that's what they were looking at getting done. And I'll stop there in Matthew, but I wanted to look at some things here and read some things, because the way my mind works, I do a lot better if I have some kind of way of seeing it. I know you can't see it, and I understand that. But I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the 14th, that first day, that day of preparation. So what would that be? Any other time, what would the day of preparation be? So if you're getting ready to have the Passover on that day of preparation, before the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts, what would be taking place? What would you think would be taking place before the Passover? That's when people were preparing their lambs for Passover, right? You see, you talk about symbolism in God's Word. That is the day that our Savior was crucified on the cross. The same day that these little lambs were being slaughtered, being killed, being sacrificed and what have you, was the exact same day that our Savior was sacrificed. You see the symbolism of talking about the sins of the world and what Jesus was, the part that he had. Now you look at the unleavened bread part of it here. You actually started eating unleavened bread on the day of preparation, to be in preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so you have this 14th day, which you look back, I believe that would end up being, if you look at it on a Wednesday, things time out correctly as we would see it, being that he arose on that Sunday morning. And that's the same day that our Lord was crucified. You look at the next day on the 15th, that Thursday, it's the High Sabbath. The Sabbath actually took place again on the 1st and the 7th day. At the beginning of the feast and at the end of the feast is when those Sabbaths took place. And so that's why, if you want to know and see why there were two Sabbaths, that doesn't mean there's two Saturdays. That means there's 2 days of rest, 2 days of preparation, 2 days ceremonially that was set apart. And then if you look back also too, and you go into Friday, you go from the 15th, which is a Thursday, you go into Friday, which would be a 16th, and then on into Saturday the 17th, that's the other Sabbath that you'd have. The actual Saturday that you would have is being the weekly Sabbath that you would have, and there's no work on that day. So when you see there's two Sabbaths close together, and then you have that one that's going to be at the end of the feast day. Now, when you put those things together there, you'll see you'll have the 15th, the 16th, and 17th. That's 3 days. The Bible says what? 3 days and then what? 3 nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the tomb, be in the belly of the earth, or in the earth. So when you put that together, and then on the 18th that morning, what you would have, the way that their day starts, the first day of the week, the way you would have that to be, then that would be when Jesus actually arose. It'd be on the first day of the week. And I hope that's pretty simple, kind of together. But I wanted to share that with you because I thought it was interesting. I'll be honest, this is something that's kind of intimidating because people have their plans. You read church signs and things like that and say, oh, it happened on this day. Well, I don't know. If you do your math, the Word of God tells us how it happened. He shows us and he reads things out here. If we try to fit in our calendar, we got to be careful. And then also, you got to put it in their calendar and the way it was there. But I'll read these verses. And again, very short tonight. I just wanted to share this because I thought it was very much worth studying and listening to. And it says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas. So you see everybody consulting together. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety, and to kill him. They said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon, it goes on to say what was taking place there when he was actually anointed. But I will stop there tonight, and I'll ask, does anybody have anything that they would like to add?